Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Lee and Keys Real Talk, back with another episode. I know I haven't been on in a couple weeks, my bad. Lee's been holding down the fort for me, and I appreciate that. Lee, what's going on tonight, brother?
Yo, what's up, man? Nothing, just finished doing the dishes, getting my hair cut, you know. Just another Sunday. What's going on with you?
Not just enjoying myself, spend some time with the family today with my brother, and we hosted us over his house watching the football game. So I watched the Patriots win, and so we on a good note here. It's pretty good Sunday for me. I was telling back.
Yeah, like I said, this is my favorite time of the year. I'm an avid football fan, so actually I didn't really get to see too much football today because I was cooking today, and then I had to go to where to go get my hair cut, and I'm just now getting home, so I'm going to catch the Sunday night game, you know, another day.
Yeah, man. So last night was a really big night. I want to just get this off my chest, how crazy it was. There was a lot of different fights last night that was going on. And first of all, I did awful on DraftKings. I can't even believe all the upsets that happened. I went against Junior Dos Santos. All right, first of all, there was a UFC Fight Night card last night, for anybody who doesn't know that. There was a UFC Fight Night card. I think it's in Adelaide. I think that's how you say it, Adelaide. And that's in Australia. So they had an Australia card with a lot of Australian fighters on there. I believe Mark Hunt is from out there. I believe Tyson Pedro is from out there as well. Ironically, both of those guys lost. And I didn't pick Mark Hunt. You know, I figured he was going to lose to Justin Willis. And that was kind of obvious. Mark Hunt's not very good. He hasn't been good for a long time. They were showing his knockout highlights, but They regret to inform, you know, the average fan that those knockout highlights are from like 4 years ago, and he hasn't had a knockout in probably that long of a time, if not longer. So Mark Hunt's way over the hill, so he lost. You know, that was the last fight in his UFC contract. So I highly doubt that the UFC re-signs him. I bet he'll go to somewhere like Bellator. I could see him being like a main eventer in Bellator. You know how they operate, so. You know, they could always throw him in a Grand Prix or something like that, or have him fight Fedor and call it a super fight. You know how the standards are in Bellator.
He said,
so
he said he was retiring. He said that was it. He said he's not fighting.
Yeah. He might even be. That might even be a good move for Mark Hunt. I'm a fan of his, but you know, his time might have been up a little while ago. So I'm glad he was able to get a few more fights in and make a couple bucks more in the fight game. But that was it's these guys gotta be realistic with when it's time for them to hang up the gloves. So yeah, shout out to Mark Hunt. Besides that, you know, I was wrong on all my picks. I picked Tyson Pedro to beat Shogun Hua. Then
I did too.
Then go figure, Shogun Hua comes out of nowhere and stops him in the second round. I think it was the second round. That was crazy. I definitely didn't expect that. Shogun looks about 90, so I had no idea that he was going to come out there with that. And then on top of it, just to titillate us, then the same scenario kind of happens in the Junior Dos Santos and Tai Tuivasa fight, where I picked Tuivasa to beat Junior Dos Santos, and Dos Santos comes out of nowhere with a stoppage again. The only difference is that Dos Santos is still in pretty good shape. Besides the Stipe fight where he was just outmatched and Stipe is really just that good, it made him, besides that, I mean, he's had up and down, kind of like his record's kind of like one for one for one for one. Like he never really gets on a winning streak or a losing streak. Kind of just, he wins one and he loses one, then he wins one and loses one. So he's had a pretty rocky career for the last couple of years and of all the fights he's had, but it's just so crazy. He comes out of nowhere and stops Tuivasa, who's like one of the up-and-coming guys at heavyweight. So that really threw me for a loop again in the main event. So that was crazy. I did pretty bad on DraftKings because these fights really came out of nowhere. But other than that, I enjoyed that fight night last night. I thought it was pretty good. I mean, it could have been – I mean, it could have been some better matchups maybe, but I'm probably more excited to see the matchups that are going to – that'll have spawned from the, you know, winners and losers. You know, Tsubasa lost in the main event, but then he ended up calling out Justin Willis, which was the guy that fought Mark Hunt, so I wouldn't mind seeing that one. And then Junior Dos Santos won, then he called out Alistair Overeem for a rematch, and based on the way the two of them just both had TKO stoppages in both of their last respective fights, I really wouldn't mind seeing that one at that rematch at this point in time. So, you know, UFC Fight Night Adelaide was a good card, but I like more what is spawning from it. What was that?
I'll pass on Dos Santos to Overeem. I'd rather see Dos Santos fight Francis McDonald. You know, I mean, I know why he called him out, because he lost to him before, but my thing is, with fighters, you should be fighting to fight for the belt, not fighting to... I mean, I can see if you're at the end of your career, fight to, you know, right some wrongs or whatever, you know, some defeats you may have had. With Dos Santos finally being healthy, and he actually looked pretty good last night, I'd rather have him fight somebody, you know, either above him or, you know, because I think he's ranked, like, number 6. So I'd rather have him fight, like, number 5 or number 4 or something like that, instead of fighting Overeem. I guess when you win, you can call out whoever you want, but I feel like you should be striving to fight for a belt. So I don't understand calling out somebody below you in the rankings. I do agree with Joe Tuivasa versus Willis. I think that'll be a good scrap. Actually, Tuivasa actually looked good last night, until he made that one mistake and got clipped and got finished. I actually went 0-3 last night because I picked Hunt, Pedro, and I picked Tsubasa all to win. So, yeah, I went 0-4 last night. And I also picked Tyson Fury to beat Deontay Wilder. So I guess I get a draw on that. But I guess we'll talk about that a little later. But, you know, man, it was, you know, My whole thing this year has been all about new blood. And I was hoping the new guys would win last night so they could carry that forward to, you know, next year, 2019, so we could see more new guys starting to step up, be, you know, maybe main eventers, you know, maybe co-main eventers, instead of being, you know, I mean, being relegated to the main card on fight nights, maybe we could see them on the main card doing pay-per-view. So, it was I was definitely shocked by Shogun. I wasn't shocked by Dos Santos. You know, last night on the show that I did last night, I said Dos Santos has a lot of tools in his toolbox. You know, he's a multi-faceted pro that last night. And then what the hell was Tuivasa doing when Dos Santos had him in full mount and he's trying to throw punches from the bottom? You should be trying to get up. What are you doing? When you throwing punches, you're making yourself more susceptible to get hit, which showed out last the way it did last night. So he needs to work on getting up, work on his wrestling. I still think he's going to be a star in the heavyweight division. I think he's going to be a very competitive guy too, man. I think he needs to work on his cardio for sure. And he probably want to work on his – he said he can wrestle. I never seen him wrestle. So, you know, maybe when he fights Tuivasa, which I think will probably be his next fight, maybe we'll see what he got on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, Justin – I think his name is Justin Willis. I think he was going easy on Mark Hunt because, you know, I was watching the fights with a few of my friends, and And my friend was just speculating that it just seemed like there was opportunities for Willis to come forward, and that he could have just kind of charged in at Marcon at one point. I mean, in the third round, it's not even like he could have charged in and gotten knocked out. I mean, I guess, but like Marcon could barely even lift his hands up. Like, the guy was done, like, in the third round. Marcon, that guy was running on empty. And I think Willis could have got the finish. But I salute him for not doing it, because I think he didn't do it on purpose, knowing that it was Mark Hunt's last fight. And he didn't want to be honest, I believe he didn't want to embarrass him. I think he just wanted it to be, he was okay with winning on the cards, but he didn't want to have to put that on Mark Hunt, you know, as somebody who's been around for a long time to be the guy who, you know, took advantage of a you know, less than impressive Mark Hunt and chose to finish him in his last fight. He didn't want to put him out that way. So props to him for that.
I think we're going to play cautious, because everybody knows Mark Hunt can hit you with that one shot and put you to sleep for 2 weeks. I think Willis did probably, it may have been a little bit of what you said, but it could also be a little bit of him not wanting to get clipped and put to sleep. So, you know, but, you know, if he did take it easy on Mark Hunt, that's a classy move. And then, you know, at the end of the fight, he allowed Mark Hunt to talk. He really didn't say too much at the post-fight. So, you know, Willis showed a lot of class last night.
Yeah, and, you know, moving on from that, you know, we're looking to see what he does going forward. Moving on from that, I want to talk about what I heard earlier today, and that is, and I didn't see, like, sometimes I go off, like, there's an official interview with Dana White, and he'll say, like, these are the fights I want to make, blah, blah, blah. But, like, it was kind of like a third party who had quoted Dana White on saying a few of these things, so I can't say this is official from Dana White, but I did hear through the grapevine that at this point, you know, Kamaru Usman just dismantled Rafael Dos Anjos on Friday night. You know, I actually missed the fight because I thought that the fight night card that was last night was like either the co-main event or the main event of last night's fight card. I kind of had things mixed up. I didn't realize that fight was on Friday, so I actually went out Friday. I wasn't even checking for any fights because I just had no idea that they were on. So, I guess Kamaru Usman completely dismantled Rafael Dos Anjos. I really expected that. Usman's a beast. And that's his ninth consecutive win in the UFC. So, yeah, that man needs a title shot. I don't think there's anything else to really talk about at this point. There's really no reason to even match him up with any other guys. I mean, he should just fight for the title. I think he could even knock Colby Covington out of that spot, because what has Colby done? I mean, he fought Rafael Dos Anjos, he beat Dos Anjos, and then starts crying that he has a headache or something like that, and he needs a Tylenol, so now he can't fight Woodley because he didn't want to get his head beat. So Covington goes in the trash, man. I say they do Woodley versus Usman for the belt next. I think that should be the one, and then Covington can go twiddle his thumb somewhere. I don't know what the hell. He could go to WWE or something like that with that trash talk he does that he doesn't seem to want to back up a lot of the time. So, and he'll get crushed by Woodley anyway, so I don't even see a reason for them to even fight. I think Usman's a much more challenging fight for my boy T. Wood. So, and that's what I heard that Dana White is calling for at this point, is that he'd rather see Usman fight Woodley next rather than Covington. And like I said, I think Usman's done more to deserve it. Nine consecutive wins in the UFC doesn't deserve to go unnoticed. I'm sure you'd have something to say about that. How you feel about that?
Haven't they already made the fight for Woodley versus Covington at 233?
Oh, I didn't know that was official. I never heard any people.
But maybe that was just hype or hearsay. that they made the fight. But I like Usman. I like what he did Friday night. He definitely dominated RDA. I think he may have had one or two 10-8 rounds. He made a previous champion look really, really bad. The thing about RDA, and they said it during the broadcast, I never really thought about it. With him coming from 155 up to 170, he's really, really small in height and stature compared to the regular guys that fight at 170. Because even Usman made him look really, really small in the octagon. So, but, you know, I'm kind of with you on this. I think they should go ahead and give him a title shot. I definitely don't like anything about Colby Covington, nothing at all, really. I think he's talked his way into opportunities and fights. And like I said last night, the guy only has fought, two top 10 guys? Two? Fought Damian Maia, who's on the end of his career, and he fought RDA, who is basically should be fighting at 155. So I really don't think he deserves it. What I would like to see is Usman versus Colby Covington, just so we can shut, so Usman can shut him up, and then we'll just forget about him. And you know, I would have Tyron Woodley wait, and maybe him fight Ben Askren, and after Askren fights Lawler. What do you think about that?
I think that's a terrible idea.
So why?
That second part, I can't get behind that at all.
Askren is
that Woodley versus that Woodley versus Ben Askren. I can't get behind that at all, bro. I'm sorry. It was a bad idea. I can't do it. I can't support it.
Why?
Man, them guys are like best friends. I don't want to see them fight.
You know what?
And you
Woody
said
that.
You said that.
But Woodley did say he wouldn't fight him, though. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all right. He did say he wouldn't fight him. Yeah.
You said that that was the same thing as Woodley and Lawler. It was not the same thing because wasn't Woodley and Lawler just training at the same gym?
You know if they both keep winning, right? You know if Askren beats Lawler, he's probably gonna have one more big time fight. And if he wins that, basically Dana probably the fans of Ben Askren are probably going to be pushing for him to get a title shot. So I say he probably has 2-3 fights at the max before they start clamoring for him to get a title shot. But I'm hoping that he lose against Lawler. Then I think he probably get a bounce back fight. And then I think he'll lose against another top 5 guy.
Yeah. So another thing that I heard was that Dana White wants to do two matches for lightweight. He wants to have Khabib and Ferguson. That's your dream fight right there, Khabib versus Ferguson. And then he wants to do Conor McGregor to fight Dustin Poirier rematch. And then that's kind of like a winner's bracket setup right there. So the winner of each of those will fight after that. That's what I heard. I don't know how official that is. Then again, in the UFC, how official is really anything? Because most of the time, when most of the things Dana White says, it usually comes out the opposite of what he actually said.
Exactly.
So for me to even cite him and say because he said it means it's going to happen is like saying that because he said it, it's not going to happen. So for him to have not said that it's going to happen might actually mean that it is going to happen because You know, he told us at least once that John Jones was never going to fight again. And John Jones has come back like twice after that. He told us many things. I can't even think off the top. Dana White has said many things. He has denied so many main events and say that's not the fight, and then it came out and that's the fight. So I think he just doesn't like when things get spoiled before he's able to officially announce it. So he'll, when asked the question, it does make sense to shoot it down and say, no, that fight's not being made right now, but then that fight is being made. So I understand the thinking of it, but it's just his track record of saying no and then it being yes, or him saying yes and then it being no. There's a lot of that. So, but, you know, McGregor and Poirier, too, that was one of the fights that I was calling for after the McGregor, Khabib and McGregor fought. I think it was the next show we did after that. We talked about the event, and then I think you asked me who is some people that I'd want to see Conor fight now. And I say Gaethje and Poirier were like probably my top two guys I'd want to see him fight. And you said that those were guys that I knew, or he knew, that he could beat.
I think he could beat Gaethje, but I think Poirier would be a tougher challenge because Poirier can do it all. He can wrestle, he can do jiu-jitsu. That's what Poirier brings a lot more to the table. Yeah, I remember us talking about that, and I think I probably said the same thing, that Gaethje is definitely would be in his wheelhouse, but I think Poirier would be a tougher fight. I do like this fight, but at the same time, it's like me and you have been clamoring for Poirier to get a title shot. And I think if he fights Conor and loses, he's pushed right back down the ladder and he doesn't get a title shot. And, you know, in a way, you know, you got to fight your way to a belt. So, you know, I guess if he's for real, you got to beat Conor. If he's for real, I would rather see Conor fight Gaethje in an action-packed fight and then maybe, you know, fight the loser of Khabib versus Tony Ferguson before we get the next title shot. I think Dustin deserves it.
Who does Dustin deserves it?
Yeah, I think he deserves the title shot.
It's just tough to me because I feel like, I don't know, I feel like at this point, after seeing, I don't know, I just don't know if any of those guys can beat Khabib. I feel like if Ferguson can't do it, then I really don't think any of them guys can beat Khabib, honestly. It's just, to have Poirier go in there is just, you know, if Poirier can't have success on his feet, then I really don't think that his secondary, you know, wrestling is going to beat Khabib's, like, primary wrestling. Like, I just don't think that's a worthwhile match. I think he is deserving of it, but I just don't think he has a chance at beating Khabib at all. I think Ferguson's got to do it. If you want to see that division move around, Ferguson's got to dismantle Khabib, and then we'll see some crazy fights after that, because there's so many matchups with Ferguson. I'd want to see him versus everybody. So and I think it'd be a lot of classics made out of that.
Yeah, but the thing is you who can really wrestle with Khabib outside of maybe a Nate Diaz? I mean, at 155, who really can wrestle with him? I mean, I would give Frankie probably can wrestle a little bit with him, but outside of that, I mean, there's really nobody in that weight class that can really wrestle with him outside of Tony. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, it goes back to something me and you talked about. Guys got to start working on their ground game. If you're a striker, you got to work on your ground game. You just can't be a stand-and-bang guy because not everybody that you fight is going to be a stand-and-bang guy. So I know the UFC probably scared to make Ferguson versus Khabib, because the last three times they'd have made it and fell through. But that's the only fight that the fans want to see. And plus, with Ferguson saying he's the real champ and he never lost, you know, he's putting pressure on the UFC because he got the fans backing. Because me and you even said it, Khabib should not be the champion winning a belt against number 12 guy, Ari Pimpri. That doesn't meet the credentials of being a champ, getting the belt from a number 12 guy because the champ suffered an injury. So for him to validate his championship, I mean, we knew what he was going to do to Conor. We knew once Conor got put on his back, there was nothing that Conor really was going to do because he hasn't showed us in the past that he can fight off his back. So once Khabib took him down, like I predicted, it would be over. So, but I really, 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 really want to see Ferguson versus Khabib.
You want to see Ferguson versus Khabib?
Yep.
Yeah, me too. I think all the times of the fight getting canceled actually, it raised. What do you say?
Khabib pulled out twice, and Ferguson got hurt once. So those are the three times they tried to make
it. Yeah, and I think that it raised the anticipation for a lot of people that wanted to see it again. Of course, it's disappointing, and we're going to say we don't want to see it just because we don't want. It's not that we don't want to see the fight. We don't want to see the fight fall through again. That's what we don't want to see. And
exactly. Big difference.
And honestly, exactly. that same narrative can be given to the main event of this coming weekend's UFC card with Max Holloway versus Brian Ortega. That fight has now fell through twice. It fell through when they tried to get it after he fought Frankie, they tried to get it for. Did it fall through once or twice?
Once.
Okay, I'm thinking of. Okay, because the Frankie Edgar fight.
I'm thinking
fell
about
through.
Holloway versus Khabib. When Holloway couldn't make weight, and then, you know, he couldn't fight Khabib.
Well, yeah, he couldn't fight Khabib, but then before that, they booked Holloway versus Frankie Edgar for. This time last
Holloway,
year for,
yep.
Yeah, it was the fight. I think it was they were supposed to be the main event of UFC 218, and then that fell, Frankie Edgar fell out the fight, and then they rescheduled it I think for the February card, and then Holloway fell out the fight. So Holloway versus Frankie has fell through twice, and now it's like not even on the horizon, and he's gonna fight Ortega because Frankie gave up the title shot to Ortega, pretty much. So now then they tried to get that one for 226 because Holloway fell through versus Khabib, and then Holloway fell through at 226 versus Ortega. So that fight fell through once. But overall, though, just to see a Max Holloway fight in his last four title fights that he was supposed to be in is 0-4. He has not made it to his last four scheduled fights.
Haven't even made it to the scale.
Yeah, he hasn't even made it to the scale. So that one has the same concept, is because, and it's so many, it's just different fights, but it's one guy that just, you know, Holloway, and I'm a really big fan of Max Holloway. I wasn't a believer that he was going to beat Jose Aldo in the rematch. I actually thought Aldo. I was rooting for Aldo. I didn't believe that he'd be able to beat him the second time around, and he proved me wrong there. And then once that happened, then I was like, all right, you earn my respect, Holloway. I got you. Like, that's what's up. So when he did that, I was like, okay, like, I'm a fan. And then now it's just like it's disappointing to see all these matches that I want to see him and all these guys I want to see him fight. Like, I want to see him fight Frankie. I wanted to see him fight Khabib. I wanted to see him fight Ortega the first time. And just none of them none of those fights end up happening. So it just, that's disappointing. Like, and I really, at this point, I still don't believe that he's going to fight Ortega this Saturday. I still feel like something's going to happen and the fight's not going to happen. Ortega, I believe, is going to fight somebody. I don't believe that, and I can't allow myself to believe that Max is going to make it into the octagon until I actually see him make it into the octagon. Like, when I see him making his walk to the octagon, then I'll believe that the fight's about to happen. But, like, I'm not going to get myself hyped and be thinking about it during the week and watching, you know, the promos and everything. I'm not doing that because I'm not trying to get my hopes. I'm trying to get my hopes up and then have it be let down on, like, Thursday afternoon when you hear that Holloway had to get hospitalized and, you know, he's out of the fight with Ortega. So I just feel like that's going to happen, and I'm just trying to prep myself for that because I can't see it going any other way. Ortega's definitely going to fight. He'll probably end up fighting Aldo or Jeremy Stevens or somebody like that if Max falls out.
Well, I think
what do you think?
They have a fan bag after this fight. I read it. Ariel Helwani actually.
Moicano?
Yeah, Moicano is the stand-in guy.
He's actually going to weigh in
and everything Friday just in case something happens. So Ortega will be, you know, as long as he doesn't get hurt, he'll be fighting for the belt on Saturday. Or, you know, let's say Ortega get hurt, then Max Holloway will be putting his belt on the line Saturday against Moicano. So there will be a title fight on Saturday. We don't know who the combatant is going to be, but we know it's going to be a title fight.
That's what I like to hear. I just, you know, I hope Max makes it in there because I don't want to see him lose his belt off a technicality like that. But at the same time, it's like, if he were to fall out this weekend, that would be a whole year now that the featherweight belt has just kind of been in limbo ever since Holloway and the, you know, the different health issues that he's had. You know, I can't blame him for the first one because that wasn't his fault. Frankie actually fell out the one that was supposed to happen this time last year in their first fight. But after that, it's just been all him falling out of, you know, those like three fights or whatever it was. So, and that's holding up the featherweight division. That thing needs to move on. So, you know, I wish the best for Max Holloway, though. I really want to see him get in there. Him and Ortega is a banger of a fight. I think it'll be really crazy. And, yeah, I'm really excited for that. But I don't want to let myself get my hopes up either. I'm excited, but I'm not excited because I need to just see them make the walk, and then I'll believe it. When I see Max make the walk, I'll believe it. But, you know. So then, it's good thoughts for the guy.
But I understand what you're saying, though, Keith, because you know, first and foremost, you know, me and you being U.S. fans of the UFC, you know, fans of certain fighters, our first hope and prayers are that they're healthy. And I just think Max, man, I think cutting down to 155 might not be in the cards for him no more. Cutting that weight is what's really holding him back, you know, as far as being, you know, fighting more, you know, fulfilling his obligation and stuff like that, because that weight cut is a mother, man. And I really hate to do this, but I hate to kick a dead horse, but I'm gonna do it one more time at 2018. Y'all should really look at fighting close to their walk-around weight. I think it makes for them being more healthier going into fights. Doesn't drain them as much mentally and physically. So they're basically at their apex shape when they step into that octagon for that fight. And guys having to lose 40 pounds and 45 pounds a fight, that's ridiculous, man. That's ridiculous.
How big do you think he is? What weight would you guess that Max Holloway walks around at? You know, given his size.
I know that when he was gonna fight Khabib, that was at 155, right? They said he came there weighing 170. So he was hoping to cut 15 pounds by Friday. So if I had to guess, I would say with him taking that fight, he probably weighed about maybe 180, 185 to get down to 170 the week of the fight and hopefully try to get down to 165 by Friday. So if I had to take a guess, I would say between 180 and 185.
And that's huge. That's a lot of weight.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, maybe that is the answer for him to just, maybe we'll see Max Holloway move up to the lightweight division, win or lose on Saturday, you know, if he makes it in there.
Yeah, we'll see, man. But I'm with you. I hope that we get to see Max make the walk. Well, my first thing is I want to see him get on the scale. And then I want to hear on Friday night that he's healthy. And then Saturday, I want to get up and they say everything is still go for tonight. And then I'll be good to go. Until all that stuff happens, I'm going to be leery.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you at all for that. That'll be me too. I think that'll be a lot of us. We're waiting to see. You know, another thing that happened last night that I wanted to touch on real quick. You know, if you listen to the show, you know that, I mean, neither of us are really much of boxing fans. Lee knows a lot more about boxing than I do, but I think his days of watching boxing are pretty far behind him at this point. And,
you must have listened to last. Yeah. You must have listened to last night's show.
And then me, I just never really. I mean, I've watched a handful of boxing fights here and there, you know, in my time. I'm also a lot younger, so there's been a lot less. I mean, there's been a lot of opportunity, but there's been less, I guess, fights that I felt like were, you know, something that was a must watch for me, I guess. And so I've seen a lot less fights. And but one that I, you know, had been kind of waiting for and looking into a little bit, you know, since probably mid 2018 or early 2018, I think early to mid 2018 when it was announced. You know, I'd been following the return of Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury is a big guy. He was a lineal heavyweight champion. He had to leave the sport a couple years back. He was having, I believe, some mental health issues. I believe he was dealing with depression and a lot of different factors that were, you know, playing into him having to walk away from the sport. So he left the sport, you know, as the champion. So I believe he vacated the belt, and then a lot of the, you know, titles passed around since then. He comes back. He fought twice in 2018. You know, he beats two guys in 2018. Then he challenges 40-0 Deontay Wilder, who's the, I don't know the exact word for him. Is it WBC? I know Deontay Wilder is like the heavyweight champion in the States.
WBC or WBO heavyweight champion.
All right, so yeah, Deontay Wilder is pretty much like, in the States, he's the heavyweight champion. And then there's like Anthony Joshua, who's like the, out in the UK, is like their heavyweight champion. So I don't really understand all the different champions with the same belt. I don't really get that about boxing. That's probably why it's not as interesting to me, because there's just way too many belts. And in the weight divisions, it's like every like 4 pounds or something crazy like that. Like every, you know, every few pounds is a new division. So I don't really understand all that. But yeah, way too many belts. But anyway, so Tyson Fury comes back to challenge 40-0 Deontay Wilder. Wilder has 39 KOs. He only had one of his 40 wins was by way of unanimous decision. So he's a pretty vicious puncher. You know, some say he's the most dangerous power puncher in boxing right now, you know, at heavyweight at least. And there's an argument to be made for that. But Tyson Fury is a hell of a boxer. He's very he's a technical guy. He's a very smart boxer. You know, fight IQ, he's a boxing IQ, I guess you could say, fight IQ, etc. is through the roof. And you know, I don't have that much knowledge of the two guys, but you know, I did say, you know, I was talking to some of my friends about the fight, and they had asked me what I thought. I said, you know, I think Fury's going to outbox Wilder over 12 rounds. I think Fury outboxes Wilder over 12 rounds, but Wilder does have that crazy power, and you know, he could catch Fury and, you know, win by knockout. But I didn't think that if it went to the judges' scorecards that Wilder could outpoint Fury, because I just don't think he's a better boxer than Tyson Fury. That's just my belief. But you know, Wilder being the big, you know, KO artist, thing like that, it was a really intriguing fight. But you know, this kind of leading into, you know, one of Lee's whole narratives about boxing is just the fight ended up being a robbery. All right, the fight was a complete robbery. Everybody and their mother and the mother's mother and everybody in their family told me that Tyson Fury won the majority of the rounds, clearly won the fight. Everybody said that. Tyson Fury clearly won the fight, very clearly. And then somehow one of the three judges had it tied, which, so they had one judge score for Wilder, one judge scored it for Tyson Fury, and then the third judge scored it a tie, which brought it to a draw, which is just complete insanity. Like, and that's just the thing that kills me about boxing, is that you have these fights and you have a clear winner in the fight, and then somehow you have these very questionable judges who just randomly score the fight a tie. How do you have the fight a tie? What kind of professional are you? What fight were you watching? Like, everybody in the world was able to pick a clear winner over 12 rounds, but somehow you had the fight as close as you had an even match for both guys. Man, that just blew my mind when I heard that. I mean, I didn't watch the whole fight, but I watched some of the playback, and Wilder had a crazy—he had a crazy knockdown in the 12th round. He knocked Tyson Fury down. You could tell by his body language that Wilder thought he knocked him out, that he wasn't going to get up before the 10 count. Fury ended up getting up before the 10 count, and the fight kept going. And when Fury came back in after the knockout, he was back to outboxing Wilder again. So that guy's a beast, and I just feel like boxing is suspect, and that fight is a fluke because they just want there to be a rematch when one of your biggest names, Deontay Wilder, was just about to have his undefeated streak broken when he got outboxed like nine out of 12 rounds. A lot of people were saying 9 out of 12 rounds. He clearly lost. So I don't know what's going on with that, but boxing is seeming a little bit Showtime seeming a little bit corrupt with those judges. I don't really know what's going on with that. Leah, I know you probably didn't watch the fight, but what do you think about that?
Well, I heard totally opposite of you. I heard that Wilder actually won the fight, from what I understand. But last night, everything you were saying today, I said that Fury would exploit some of Wilder's weaknesses, and one of Wilder's biggest weaknesses is he throws wild punches. He throws loopers. And one thing about Fury is Fury is a technical headbutt. What I mean by that, Fury would pick his spots, use his jab, use his power punches. And if you got it swings Wilder against Fury, he'll counterpunch you and hurt you, and he'll outpoint you that way. But from what I've seen on the highlights last night, Deontay Wilder should have had at least get a knockdown and automatically a 10-8 in boxing. It can't be no more than a 10-9. So that's two rounds he won it off the rip. So then when I watched the little highlights of the fight in the 12th round, when he put Fury down the second time, the referee then started counting until he had been down like 5 seconds. you know, he was pointing Wilder to his corner, doing something else, and then he finally got to the count, and then Fury popped up. I think if he would have administered the count as soon as Fury hit the mat like they're supposed to do, Fury probably would have been knocked out, because that shot he took from Wilder, oh, my goodness gracious, that was a hell of a shot. Ooh, that was probably – just Fury getting up from that shot alone shows how tough he is. Because, man, that was one hell of a shot. It was like I want to say it was a left hook to the body followed by a right hook to the chin, or it might have been the other way around. Man, when he hit that mat, I didn't think he was getting up. I thought he was dead. But back to your point with the judges. Boxing. Y'all, boxing needs to get rid of these old judges. These guys have been judging 20 or 30 years. You need to get rid of them guys. You need to start bringing in judges that are in their early 20s. No later than mid-30s. These old judges look at boxing totally different than what boxing is today. These judges look at boxing like it's Sugar Ray Leonard fighting, it's Mike Tyson fighting, it's Larry Holmes fighting. No, they are more skilled and more technical. They are not brawlers. They don't really want to get in the brawl. They want to showcase their boxing IQ, and they want to showcase their skills. They are not in there to get their head hit 200 times in one fight. They're not trying to do that. So boxing is at an impasse, man, because you as a cat, you're not even a fan of boxing, and last night turned you off to boxing, and you really didn't even watch the fight, and you already turned off against boxing. So how you think people that are lifelong fans of boxing feel? I mean, a guy like me, I don't do boxing. There's too many belts. I think boxing is corrupt to a certain amount. I mean, I can't prove it. Nobody can prove it. I think boxing is corrupt. I think the fighters themselves aren't really fighters. They pick and choose when they want to fight who they fight. And this was what blows me away the most. Guys in boxing, they would rather relinquish a belt than fight a guy. When have you ever heard that in any sport? Somebody would give up their championship. Man, that there alone stuns me and brings me almost speechless. You would give up a championship to avoid fighting somebody? Come on, man. But, you know, boxing will be here. If boxing is here today, it'll be here tomorrow. It'll be here a long time after I'm gone. I think boxing, one way to fix boxing, Key, is what you said. You know, they got WBA, WBC, WBO, IBF, and the NA something. They need to become one body with one champion. And then you establish rankings according to fights, you know, who they're fighting, you know. You do it like the way the UFC do the rankings, you know, not the pound-for-pound rankings, but the divisional rankings. When you got all these belts running around as a casual fan, you're like, who the real champion? Because, what, Joshua has three belts. Wilder has a belt. It's another guy with a belt. And it's like, so who the real champ? So is Joshua the real champ because he got three belts or two belts? Or is Wilder the champion because, you know, he has WBA? I want to say he got WBO, but it might be WBC. But, excuse me, I'm sorry. But, man, boxing just, they need to fix themselves, man, because they don't listen to the fans. So, what are fans supposed to do? Hello?
I have no idea because, you know, they're probably going to try to
have a rematch now with Wilder and Fury. And I feel like that's probably the most reason. I mean, I think boxing, they just try to make a more controversial fight so then they can build up for the rematch.
And I think UFC does that to an extent too. But at the same time, it's like,
I just can't remember the last, like, blatant robbery that I saw in the UFC. Like, I know there are robberies, but, like, you never see, like, big main event fights having, like, crazy robberies like that, where it's just, like, blatant that the other guy, you know, took the fight. You know what I mean? I just never really.
Demetrius Johnson's last fight was a robbery. Mighty Mouse's last fight was a robbery. To me?
I didn't see that fight, so I couldn't have known it was robbery because I never saw it.
I got
you. You're probably right. I didn't know because I didn't see it. But a lot of people did say that. Now that you say that, quite a few people have said that he never lost that fight. So, I mean, that is one. I didn't say they don't happen, but you never see these big, crazy pay-per-views, like a year build-up or something. And, and then the fight is a draw, and then you end up having a rematch. I mean, they had the Canelo and Triple G fight. They said that a lot of people told me that Triple G beat Canelo in the first fight, and then they had it as a draw, so they did a rematch. And then they ruled it that Canelo beat Triple G in the second fight, but then a lot of people were telling me that Triple G beat Canelo again in the second fight. So I don't really understand what the hell is going on with boxing, man, because not only do you have a fluke, but then you have a rematch, and the rematch is still a fluke. So I don't know what the hell is going on. Because the fans.
Man, Keys, you just hit the nail on the head, dog. Because I watched both Triple G fights against Canelo. He dominated Canelo in the first fight. There is no way that fight should have been a draw. A lot of people said Canelo was more aggressive. Okay, he was being more aggressive, but guess what? He was getting pieced up the whole fight. And then in the second fight, Triple G changed his style up. You know, he decided to be more aggressive in the fight. And he almost had Canelo knocked out on his feet twice. Man, boxing, man, it's just so frustrating, man. I mean, oh, man, it's just so frustrating, man. It's too many organizations, too many belts. I mean, there's probably a guy walking around here in Denver with the state of Colorado heavyweight championship belt somewhere. And, I mean, man, they just doing too much, bro. They doing too much, man.
They might as well. Oh man, that cracked me up. They might as well just have a. Next year, boxing is going to declare a heavyweight champion for different regions of the United States.
Man, I'm
there's
going to
be a
Midwest
boxing champion. There's going to be a East Coast boxing champion. You know, out here, Boston, New York, we can have a champion too. There's going to be a. There's going to be a champion out in California, so then the Nevada State Athletic Commission can try to, you know, be involved with that. And then there's going to be a Canadian heavyweight champion, too. Oh, my God. That is too fun.
Yeah, man.
That is
it's just too much, man. It's just too much, bro. It's you can't. And then for just you, I'll just use you as an example. I would say you are a casual fan. You're not really too deep into boxing, you know, but you'll go see a big fight if it's one supposed to happen. You'll probably go take that fight in, you know, watch it just because of the hype. But after last night, let's say if you watched the fight last night, you will be turned off as a fan because watching the fight, some people said Fury won. People I talked to said Wilder won. But any which way it goes. It shouldn't have been a draw. It should have been a winner. So, if boxing doesn't, I mean, it's bad when you go into when you watching a boxing match and you sitting there thinking in the back of your head, So how they gonna screw this up at the end of the night? Or which judge is on the tape? Or do they already had a rematch already signed? It's stuff like that that turns you off on boxing, man.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty crazy. It's definitely pretty crazy. But yeah, man, we had, I was happy that we were able to, cover so many different areas tonight. I was trying to we try to touch upon certain things and give a fair amount of time to certain things, but not get too carried away on one thing so that we end up, losing the time that we had, set aside for the rest of the topics we wanted to talk about. So, but tonight we hit everything. We hit everything that we wanted to get, that at least, the things that we had in mind, we hit every area that we wanted to get off. I mean, at least I thought, and, I maybe wanted to spend a few more minutes on my boy T Wood, the possibility of him fighting Kamaru Usman next. But, that kind of gets shut down with the uncertainty of whether my boy T Wood is actually just going to be fighting Colby Covington next. I didn't even know if that fight was official or maybe it's official already. I don't remember seeing that, but it might be. I know I'm probably mistaken. I probably just missed it somewhere. But yeah, I probably would have wanted to go more into that. What happened?
I'm going to check real quick and see whether or not it's official. Go ahead.
Yeah, word. I'm not sure. You're probably right. That is somewhere out there. I must have missed it. But if it wasn't, then otherwise I probably would have wanted to spend a few minutes on the how we think the fight would go, in the future when Tyron Woodley fights Kamaru Usman, because I do think that fight will be next. I think that my boy T Wood is gonna run through Colby Covington, fairly easy, and then after that, he'll take on Usman in the process. If Usman wants to go ahead and fight, Ponzinibbio, I think that might be
it's
the
not,
next
it's,
guy.
It's not official.
Okay, it's not official.
It hasn't been signed yet. Nah.
All right, so who knows what might happen or what doesn't happen, but the welterweights are looking pretty good right now. I like the way that things are happening. RDA is probably gonna move back down to lightweight or something because it's a lot of these guys are probably just too big for him, and his short run might have just been a fluke, just like boxing. Might have just been a fluke. So, it's been a good show. And, Lee, if you have any things you want to wrap up with, go ahead. The floor is yours.
All I want to say to our listeners, happy holidays. Everybody be safe. Enjoy your family. If you plan on sipping a little bit, smoking a little bit, don't get behind the wheel. Don't just think of yourself. Think about the other people on the road. And until next time, Lee and Keith. Peace.
Yeah, also, one more thing to add to that is even if you're not, going to drink or you're not going to smoke, you're also always thinking about the people on the road who are doing that. So it's not always coming down to you endangering the people on the road, but the people on the road endangering you, even when you're driving safely. So there's always a threat on the road, just not knowing where people's heads are at, when they're behind the wheel, because you don't know who you're on the road, who you're sharing the road with. So regardless of the situation, always think of yourself and your family and just know that there's always a time to be cautious. All the time is the time to be cautious and careful. So that's pretty much the message that I want to just say. And, we'll try to get back, once a week. My semester is pretty much wrapping up. I'm pretty much finishing my bachelor's degree in, the next 2 weeks or so. So that's pretty much going good. And, we're going to try and get back on once a week schedule and try to give y'all the same quality shows that we've been doing. So everybody, I appreciate everybody for listening and for following our show. And everybody, you know, the merriest, I wish you the merriest of the holiday season in the next couple of weeks. You know, Christmas will be here, you know, it'll feel like 5 minutes. You know, Christmas will be here any minute. So everybody, happy holidays. If you don't watch the show between now and then. And then, and besides that, this has been Lee and Keys Real Talk. We are over and out. Everybody have a good night.
Everybody.